Bulldog Life continues here on the Pulse at 1-866-823-1077. John Babiarza Grafton joining us here to give us an overview of how energy projects, regional greenhouse gas initiative, and so on, how we've gotten to where we are today in our fights that we are facing right now and will be facing ahead. And John, again, thank you for making the trip here. I do appreciate this, because this is something that people need to hear.
It's true. People do need to hear it, that things don't happen in isolation. There's a tapestry woven, and we're unraveling it right here on your show.
And we're all at risk here in New Hampshire, every single one of us listening.
So let me continue on with the legislative side. We have a state rep in Grafton, Catherine Mulholland, who can't be more redder than you can imagine. She's of British ancestry, but rumors in town is she holds dual passports, but, you know, it's hard to prove that without other things. There's also rumors in our town that she studied in foreign countries like Moscow, Russia, Moscow. But anyway, her policies have always been, I would say, not even socialism, I'd say communism, right out in front. Well,
to the left of Lenin, as we would say.
Yes, I think Lenin is her hero. In fact, she mentioned Lenin fondly a few times at our town meetings. So, anyway, in 2009, they passed a bill which is encapsulated as RSA 162H. What 162H did, in order to support the regional
Greenhouse gas initiative
is to take away local control. The site selection committee, which windmill projects, Northern Pass, all this stuff goes through.
Yep, the site evaluation committee.
Basically took the power out of the local towns on the matters of zoning, planning. Now, Grafton has no planning, or actually Grafton has a planning zone with, I think we only have three regulations. No zoning. The windmill projects were going to go in whether we had zoning or not because of the site selection. Pulls it out. That means our planning board had no hearings. There's people going around trying to not defuse the situation, muddle the situation so that the proper people don't get blamed for this. I will correct the record in Grafton, let me tell you that. But in the meantime, they're trying to say that because Grafton Planning met secretly with windmill. No, they did not. Because I attend a lot of their meetings. My wife is on the planning board.
Okay.
Okay. Our planning board in the town of Grafton typically lasts less than a half hour. In fact, some minutes even have a minute. Because if there's no business, they approve the minute and move on.
Okay.
Okay. So it operates extremely efficient. We don't delay people. They have property rights. If they want to divide their property, it's their property.
Okay. Okay.
So they had to put this bill in. So now all of a sudden, we don't have a say. We have to now, to have a say in matters of our own town, go out and do what's scheduled by the state commission, and it'll be in Concord. So everybody's got to drive out to there and have all these hearings out here, putting an undue pressure on us. Of course, the site selection committee has a few people that are lawyers on it, and past members of site selection.
And those hearings, by the way, are conducted as if they were actual court proceedings.
Yes. Administrative
law. And a lot of people, exactly. And a lot of people that come in from the towns do not know how these procedures work. And they come in, and you basically need to be a lawyer in order to testify to it and do cross examination and whatnot.
And you get bowled over. Okay.
You sure do.
All right. So they basically, this law exempts a lot of things. Now, I'm the fire chief of the town of Grafton. Normally, when somebody blasts, they're supposed to go to the fire chief and inform them. I wonder if I'm going to get informed. Because we have two-way radios, and if we're responding to an emergency and we don't know if it's a blast site, we key up on boom. anyway.
Well, they'll send some PR flack out there to say, oh, well, we work very closely with our local communities, blah, 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 blah. Oh, but we're going to blast this day. Well, you can't do it that day. Too bad, we're going to do it.
So anyway, local control has been pulled. I find it disturbing. I really do, because they tell you one thing, and as we've been talking to people of Groton, Romney, the process, that we have to be very cautious here, and that the site selection committee really doesn't control things, you know, once contracts are signed and permissions given. So
ask the folks in Romney and the disputes that they have had with the windmill project developers over proper maintenance of roads. Yes.
So there's more going on. But basically, this is the bill that does it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're wondering probably how does this all tie in with Northern Pass? Well, now here we go. New Hampshire is part of New England. In New England, and I know the history of this because I used to live in a town in Connecticut, Southington. In the mid-60s, Convex, Connecticut Valley Exchange, was the central controlling entity for all electrical grids in New England. Basically, mm-hmm. It would take the feed from New York up through and whatever locally generated and distribute it out. In the 1990s, ISO New England in Holyoke, Mass. It's a nonprofit consortium which controls the power in our region, which is New England. So when they talk about power, they project future power needs and generation facility. This is why the Springfield nuclear power plant in Vermont cannot be shut down, because it's part of the stable New England pool with the reserves that it needs. If that was to be shut down, then we won't have enough power in our region to generate it. So that needs to stay online. Now,
yep.
Let's go back to New Hampshire. New Hampshire generates 22, as of 2010. These figures I'm about to give you are from the Energy Information Administration, which is part of the United States government.
Mm-hmm.
I will give you the document I have here so you can verify the numbers yourself. And people can go to that website and get the numbers broken down by type of generation or whatever, so that you can verify what I'm about to say is true. We generate 22 tera megawatt hours of power, 22. We use, in New Hampshire, 10.
Yep. I've heard these statistics before.
We export more than half of the power generating New Hampshire out. So tell me why we need a transmission line.
Yeah.
If you take the charts, and I have it summarized here, this graph here, by year, but if you take it by quarter, you will see the dips when they have to refuel the Seabrook reactor. And the reason I say that is New Hampshire Seabrook generates enough power to power all of New Hampshire one plant. That takes less acreage than what the windmills in Grafton are going to do for the lousy 34 megawatts.
There you go.
Okay. Not only that, what they don't tell you, if you go back 20 years, you'll see that the output of New Hampshire power generation has doubled.
Mm-hmm.
You will see that Seabrook in itself has doubled its power. I don't know how they did that.
I don't know either, because they haven't built a new reactor in a number of years.
So they must have put better turbines.
They've got the room for it too, I hear.
Or they're running at a hotter rate, which is okay. It doesn't matter. The bottom line is Seabrook has less of an environmental impact. Okay. Well, I will talk later on about how we deal with the nuclear
problem. Less visual impact, less environmental impact, and so on. Sure.
All right. So now that we see that one plant can generate all that power, what is all the other plants and how they got there? Well, remember when Seabrook, under its old parent company, was going bankrupt because of financial mismanagement?
Mm-hmm.
And the state of New Hampshire bailed them out?
Yep.
All right.
We're still paying for that today.
That's right. That was not necessary. If they let the market work, it would have gone bankrupt. Its assets would have been sold. And we would not have missed the beat. Because in bankruptcy court, you're allowed to, quote, have operating revenue until a new owner took over. And then they would have a new basis in their investment. And things would have been fine. And power would have been cheap. Instead, the usual, oh, we can't have this.
And the hand washing, yeah.
The hand washing and the palm greasing or whatever it took, they got that. Now, mm-hmm. Let's go to wood chip plants. That's another dandy thing. Before there was a regional gas house initiative, okay, the people in the logging industry needed a constant revenue stream. Because if you just log just for lumber, you would not have trees at the appropriate age to be logged, and you would have less logging crews, which means less income, less families working, less truck repair places, and so on and so forth. There's a lot of industries involved.
Sure.
Any industry that is doing raw material, whether it's mining, oil, logging, farming, they're the basis of our economy. Because everything is made from raw materials. And these are the people, the men and women that work in these fields, they're the hard workers. And yet we, as a government, as a society, are punishing them for doing their hard work. This has implications down the road. Well, anyway, getting back to the wood. Well, trees don't all grow perfectly straight. And you need to do some maintenance out there. But in order to do that, you have to have some kind of way of paying for that maintenance.
Sure.
Especially since state of New Hampshire charges them very high stumpage fees,
Forget your local timber taxes too.
Well, and that's based on the stumpage, and the stumpage will determine the diameter or whatever.
Okay,
so that goes. But what to do a forest properly? You can't have overcrowding. You have to pull diseased trees out. Trees that are not growing straight need to be pulled or whatever. So you take them out and you chip them. Now, what do you do with the chips?
Make them into wood pellets or chips. And
well, before
burn
that,
them.
Burn them.
Heat.
Burn them.
Get heat. Yeah.
Burn them. So they had these power plants. These power plants that do the wood chip cost a lot more than doing nuclear, cost a lot more than burning oil, cost a lot more than doing gas turbines.
Mm-hmm.
But it allowed us to be diversified. It allows, and by the way, the power companies are mandated to buy this. And this is a key point when we get back to the Regional Gas House Initiative. So they buy this, and we have plants all over the place. And so it pushes it on the grid and gets transferred. And
they're converting Schiller Station. They're doing the one in Berlin. Yes.
Okay. And we have coal-fired plants in New Hampshire, too. The coal doesn't come from here. Or it comes from Pennsylvania or Montana. It doesn't matter.
Comes from Venezuela now because it's cleaner.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway.
So let's now go back to the Regional Gas House Initiative. Part of the bill says so much has to be green renewable power.
And by a certain year.
A certain year. Now, because we're in the grid.
We're all one big happy family.
That's
now.
Right. Now what happens? Northeast Utilities, okay, parent company of Public Service New Hampshire, okay. But you see, all these states, they're all Democrat now, aren't they? Oh, interesting. Anyway, all these states passed this greenhouse initiative, joined on to it, and mandated, hell with the science, hell with reality. We're going to mandate, boom, this power. Now, Connecticut has a big NIMBY problem. There's a lot of development with wealthy people.
Oh, yes.
So there's Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
Rhode Island has no land to speak of and no mountains. It's basically flat.
Right.
So, but they still required to get 10% of their power by this year, 20% by another year of regional, clean energy. How do they do that? Well, they can buy it. Well, who has the big backyard? Maine,
New Hampshire,
Vermont.
Yes.
Now Vermont's saying no to wind energy, so now we have New Hampshire. New Hampshire, who is an exporter of power, they're going to put more power facilities. That power, technically, if you shut down the rest of the grid, that power would never even reach Connecticut.
Oh, and let me not forget to remind people that just a couple of years ago, too, in the New Hampshire legislature, there was a proposal to allow big hydro projects like Northern Pass to qualify for the RPS, which could lead to subsidies.
Yes.
And that bill was promptly withdrawn when hundreds of people showed up to protest it.
So they need green
power.
It's
a game that continues.
Yes.
And it's going on in Connecticut right now as we speak.
So Connecticut needs green power, but they can't build in their area. They have no place that will let them.
They don't want windmills. They don't want more power plants. They don't want anything.
They don't want anything. So, but the power company has to do it. So how do they do it? Because it's part of the grid. It doesn't matter. They'll buy it in New Hampshire. Yet, like I said, if we shut down the grid completely, the power here would never even get down there. But because it's part of the grid, we're buying it from the grid. So, so the Spanish company, and we'll get into that too, but the Spanish company is getting subsidies from federal government to build this thing, and they're building it. Nobody's buying the power yet. But you know what? As soon as it goes online, Connecticut's going to buy everything from that power plant in Grafton. to satisfy their regional gas house initiative. Because, and guess what? Because we're a nuclear that can power the whole state, we are technically green powered. Everything else is a sideshow distraction. We're already green in New Hampshire, have been since Seabrook was operational.
There you go.
Okay, and yet we're playing this regional game. There's no reason for it. We're getting screwed as a taxpayer. We're getting screwed as a ratepayer because here's a dirty little secret.
Go ahead, and then we have to take a break.
I was told this, so I don't know this to be fact,
okay.
But a guy who's an engineer developed these kind of plans. He says New Hampshire has a 40% tax on a generation of power.
Hmm.
If that is true, follow the money.
There you go. Bulldog Live continues here. John Babiarz from Grafton here on Bulldog Live. I am your host, Bulldog Brian Tilton. 1-866-823-1077 on the Pulse.